Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Jimi Hendrix Black Legacy series. We have a very special guest, Michael Hampton, and you just heard the sounds of adolescent funk taken from Hardcore Jollies, in which Michael said that he was inspired by Jimi Hendrix's Angel to write that song. So we're very excited to have Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, P-Funk legend, Mike Hampton, a.k.a. Kid Funkadelic. Started out with P-Funk fresh out of high school, auditioned by playing Eddie Hazel's Maggot Brain, note for note, and the rest is history. He went on to play many of the iconic leads that you hear on Funkadelic tracks, 1975, Let's Take It to the Stage, Not Just Knee Deep, who says a funk band can't play rock, Bride the Funkensteins, Never Buy Texas from a Cowboy, and so many other favorites. He came out with a solo album in 1998 called Heavy Metal Funkerson, and he's now touring with his own band, the Kid Funkadelic Band, on a new funk and roll tour. And if you want to learn more about Michael, you can go to his website at www.michaelhampton.com. And he will also be appearing Friday, November 27th in New York City, Times Square at B.B. King's, as part of the Jimi Hendrix tribute that David Kramer usually puts on every year. This is the 10th year. Of course, it's going to be at B.B. King's Times Square. So, without further ado, let's welcome Michael Hampton, Kid Funkadelic, to the show. Are you there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing, Greg? What's going on?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad to have you with us. Let's just go ahead and get straight into it. As you were mentioning, you grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and you actually took lessons from a jazz guitarist. Besides the obvious people like Jimi Hendrix, Wes Montgomery, B.B. King, who were some of the other players that influenced you that maybe people we may not know about?
They probably know. I mean, Frank Zappa was one of them, and then I used to check out. I mean, just about anybody that was, if it was on the radio, I'm listening to it. So the guitar player from the Ohio Players, Sugarfoot, and then I would watch some programs like Hee Haw. You know, they like Roy Clark. You know, and I've listened to. Just various guitarists, you know, like the guy, I remember more like with songs, you know, like there was a band that did Hocus Pocus, and then it was a band that did All Right Now, and then like Deep Purple, Richie Blackmore. I can't remember the names of the guitars, you know, a lot of them I was listening to them. Like, you know, say Wawa Watson, I'm listening to the track. I don't know who was really the guitarist at the time. I was just kind of trying to learn a song or something. And, you know, Eddie Ninja Number 9, the guy from the Booker T and the MGs, whoever the guy played with War, is the guy. Well, you know, mostly probably like a lot of, I didn't even know that Dr. John played guitar. And I really liked that solo on Right Place, Wrong Time. I was like, it sounded like kind of Eddie Hazelfield, you know. So I didn't really know at that time who was really associated. Most of it was me just listening to songs. You know, I'm listening to the Beatles. I'm listening to the Four Seasons. Hot Rod Lincoln, you know. If there's anything that was on the radio back in the day, Catfish, you know, Rupee's Brother, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Rupee's Brother did a Coffee, you know, did a Scorpion 100 Meters. Of course, you know, people back in the day when it was, old school, get around the same time, you know what I mean? That all this stuff was coming out. And, I was listening to Zeppelin. I was listening to Black Oak Arkansas, Rare Earth, Guy from Rare Earth, Deep Purple, that already. But, the Echo Winner and the Rick Energy. It was just so many different guitars that I'm trying to, you know, Jeff Beck probably was in there, you know, because... I was just learning, and I kind of started like a little later, you know. So I was listening to more music. You know, guys played Bobby Blue Bland. I probably heard from Howlin' Wolf and didn't know it was him, or, you know, Buddy Guy, or, you know, some guys like Albert King definitely added to the label. But, it's a different, my first album. my cousin turned me on to Pink Floyd Echoes. So I was listening to that, you know, way back in the day and trying to learn the solo for Money, you know, that they put out. And trading solos, you know, I was still experimenting with, you know, more like wah-wah pedals and stuff, going through wah-wah pedals and different things. I said wah-wah Watson probably, you know, for sure, but I didn't mention him. You know, Buddy Miles, I played guitar. So, you know, I might have heard it. It's like, from a Rufus, you know. A couple of songs I was trying to learn, you know. I mean, the one I can't even place it with James Brown, but you know, it was like one string at a time, you know. So I was like learning to get ready on one string, and then I can't get no satisfaction. The Stones, you know, I was just starting on one string. Then that's all the kids, you know, like when I was younger, you know, they pass the guitar around, you know, a little bit here and there, and all you would have is a couple of strings on the guitar anyway. So, I mean, it was, a lot of the influence just came from listening, and I loved a lot of the songs that were out, you know, and more like it's my imagination. I don't know who these guys were. I like to watch those shows. You got the late night shows now with the, you know, like, the guitarist is the musical director sometimes, and back in the day, watching Merv Griffin or something like that, I always liked the guys that were playing in the stage band, sort of like the guy that has taught me, you know. It really, you know, I listen to a lot of different players and guys that just were at the music store, you know, I used to go to in the Cleveland, Ohio, you know, this place called Deep Fury. And it was a lot of great players that are probably still out there to, you know, I mean, I heard them. I don't know what happened with them beyond that, you know, playing in an aisle over from me in the store. I was inspired with just about anybody that I was exposed to. You know, I was always picking up something, you know, but I can always learn something from anybody, you know.
Oh, okay. Now, when you make that transition from all the music that you talked about, and do you remember the first time that you actually heard Jimmy's music? Well, you remember what that experience was like?
Well, you know, I don't even think I was able to even play any of the, you know, I mean, besides trying to play, you know, some licks from Who Knows, and I still don't really, still a lot there that I can't do, that I haven't been able to translate. But, you know, the feeling was that, you know, it's strange to say that, you know, that we listen to somebody's music that you could feel what it was, you know, like freedom. You know, I didn't know nothing about having a, you know, like a girlfriend and wanting some freedom from that, you know, but I felt something from the music, you know, and then Who Knows, you know, and think about it now, and it's like, you know, it seems like it could just feel, you know, what it was. I get close to a couple of licks, and then you kind of, you know, you get like a feeling of a swagger or something. If, you know, I don't know. He just had, you know, it was a cool feeling. Just like I didn't mention Thank You by Sly Stone, but you know, and the guitar players that play was Fine Sandy Stone, but it was something about it, you know, the licks and the solo that just, you know, I don't know, I guess you can kind of mature in some kind of way, you know, through listening. And I was still, you know, I mean, people would bring over albums for me to learn, and that was one of them, that, you know, the Band of Gypsies, and I just played it over and over, and you know, it, feeling I got was, you know, that I was out there, you know, on the road, or I could just kind of, you know, it's like you knew him, you know. His nickname was Buster, I believe, and when I found out about that, because I don't really know, you know, his nickname and stuff like that, but it just kind of made it like, hey, you know, it was one of the guys in the neighborhood, you know, and it was always a guy in the neighborhood that just probably was better than all of us, didn't really know a whole lot of the guitar, but, you know, it was like listening to you, like a big brother playing or something, you know, I don't know. It's hard to describe what the feeling was, though, you know. I mean, now I just feel like, you know, you knew the person that was playing, you know, you got a feeling from it, you know, from how he the sounds, you know. I mean, whatever sound he was playing, you know, it seemed like it transferred it to a feeling, you know.
Oh, okay. Now, you mentioned the band of Gypsies, and you mentioned Buddy Miles earlier, too.
Yeah,
did you remember anything about that album in particular? You say you just played it over and over. What connected you with the band of Gypsies album?
Well, you know, when they, the Power of Soul, when that, you know, when, I guess, Buddy, you know, when he just did that, you know, like, and then it is ten, and then the solo breaks in, you know, like to it, and it just get a flash of energy. It just see you like it, here it comes, you know. But just the feeling, you know. I mean, Buddy, you know, I can tell that he can play a guitar too. You know, he played the drums. He's complimenting. You know, it seemed like when they got together, you know, was what was really happening. I mean, as far as it had peaked to where, you know, I don't really know exactly. I can't say I know what I'm talking about as far as peak, but that album, you know, definitely stands out like, you know, as one of the best ones all over. But the drums and it's just kind of a low down pocket of a beat, you know, it's just right there, you know, it's a nice pocket, and it's a great foundation for Hendrix to solo over and vocalize and et cetera, you know.
Oh, okay. Now I kind of want to transition into a lot of people compare Machine Gun with the band of Gypsies to Eddie Hazel's Maggot Brain, and you got to work closely with Eddie Hazel, so I want to get your ideas on that. What was it like working with Eddie Hazel? Was there ever any kind of like friendly competition, or was it all love, or what was that situation like working with Eddie Hazel?
Yeah, Eddie actually, what happened was when I got with the group, him and Eddie and Billy went on the right of Shaky Ground and Living in a Glass House with the Temptations and Motown. He wasn't out there right at that time. And then there's another guitar player that did the original Cosmic Slop solo. His name was Ron Baikowski. He, you know, he was doing that, you know, the Kiss makeup before, you know, I didn't see Kiss, but anyway, he did the original, but I was basically getting to know him more, and then Eddie came back a little bit later when we did the Beverly Hills Theater, live at Beverly Hills Theater tour. You know, he come in sporadically because he was probably, you know, on call for sessions and whatever, you know, he was starting his own right. You know, he's just kind of a gypsy himself, you know. It reminded me, that's the closest probably I was going to get to, you know, meeting anybody that like Jimi Hendrix, you know. But he, we were cool, you know. I was mischievous, you know. I gave him his props, you know, and he had a way of playing the rhythm and the lead, together, and he was a great vocalist. And you know, I don't think we really, you know, kind of we clicked. Like, I mean, things like the business or whatever it is, you bring in, like, you got an older guy, like, even now that I'm older, you know, people that bring in a younger guy, you know, and don't respect, but, you know, you try to respect it. I had a lot of respect for Eddie. I always got along with him as far as when we played on stage. And of course, we have, a nip here and there. But we didn't, I don't think it was an atmosphere where everybody just hung out, you know, together, because it was an age difference. And these guys was like more than that, as far as you're talking about growing up on the road. It's like, you know, I found out some things, you know, that I could have pissed them off one time, you know, I mean, you know, but we was cool, you know, it wasn't no thing. It just, I'm a young guy, you know, we're just kind of kicking it, and I might have been off and said something to him, you know, but mostly we were really cool, you know, it was no thing. The atmosphere didn't really, it wasn't like somebody trying to mentor me or anything, you know, it's kind of like I learned a few licks. You know, I had pretty much the parts, you know, and he knew something that I didn't know, you know, about. I mean, he was the same age as most of the guys out there. So, I mean, these guys cut from the same generation. You know, I didn't know what they knew, man, you know, as far as if it had something to do with business, if it had something to do with music, if it had something to do with vocals, I didn't know how to really ask. I'd shared, you know, I'd get everything I could from the records or practicing. I just would just practice a lot. But yeah, we were cool, man. I just remember that one time. That's all. Yeah, you know, and it was me, you know, and then I was just barking. I said,
"What'd you say to him to make him mad?"
I don't even know what it was. I guess it could have been something that I said that might have been disrespectful. It, like fronting on him in front of somebody, you know, that was in the room or something. I don't know. It was no big deal. You know, it was just like we were partying, and I just said some old, you know, shit, like I'm, you know, like probably just like F you or something, you know, whatever. It was like, you know, it just came out, you know. I wasn't thinking of nothing. I wasn't trying to pick a, you know, just a fight or nothing like that. But it just something that happened, you know, and it was squashed, you know. It happened. It was nothing, you know. I just know that, you know, didn't nobody know anything. I'm out there. I'm first time in everything, and you know, and things come out your mouth, man. You know, and it really, I wasn't even thinking about that. You know, I wasn't thinking that it was gonna create any disagreement. It really was nothing. I shouldn't even, you know. I was like, oh no, me and Eddie, always good buddies, man. We always, you know, I could say a lot of different things, but we really were kind of like, it was kind of a given, you know, that we're just out, we were out there playing, and he was advanced. I think one time he wanted to put something together of a group, and I found out, you know, a little bit more about the application. You know, like when we did Maggie Blaine together, I would let him go first, you know, because he did the original, but the original was basically a studio manipulation of his parts, you know, and a lot, it was a lot more tracks than Maggie Blaine that actually made it to the finish with what everybody has heard. And I thought that he, you know, his mindset was, well, he would just do, he played a whole, a gang of stuff all the time, you know. And when he would play out on the road, then I'd let him take, you know, not let him, but he, I prefer that he'd go first because he wasn't going to follow what's on the vinyl. You know, he had his own agenda. He might do like four, he might do the intro to something, and then, and he's off to the stratosphere after that. You know, it's like whatever's on that vinyl don't mean, don't really mean that much to him. You know, he just do like a couple of, like I try to, not that I get every note, you know, because I still have to refer to that original studio version for a lot of different things. But he definitely was a free spirit when it came to that. And it was hard to really, I couldn't hang with him like that, you know. He, you know, I might have thought I could party, but, you know, I drink as it was, but it was a whole nother realm there, you know, that I was too young to really, you know, I was another generation for us to really be, to click and not be in, into some type of other realm, you know, like that was out of my league, you know. He basically, you know, he loved to hang out, but he probably just looked at me like I'm this little kid out here for real, you know. You know, so we were as close as you could be to somebody that, you know, like, I mean, he's my brother from my mother and all that, but he really wasn't, it wasn't like you, somebody takes you under his wing or something, you know.
Yeah, like, it, I understand.
You know, and the way they put you out there is like, you know, we're out there, you could think of it, you might be looking at it like, what am I doing, you know, out there, you know, he's back. It's like, I'm sure you didn't want to get, we didn't want to get this far with it, but, you know, just to say that we're really cool, but it was more of a, more of a given, and I had a lot of respect for him. And whenever he played, I could always hear him, hear his parts. If he's playing right next to me, I was always playing, you know, so we could both hear each other. I always try to compliment him. And if you listen to the last part of that Beverly Hills Live, when we were soloing together at the end of Maggie Brain, and I swear, it seemed like it just disappeared, like the notes just blended together, and it was a moment there where, when I listened to it one time, and we just kind of was one, you know, and it just kind of just, where'd the notes go? You know, blended through, you know, so I'm always about, you know, complimenting, you know, other players, you know, and especially him, you know, I mean, when he came back in.
Yeah, a lot of people, they compare Eddie Hazel sometimes to Jimi Hendrix, and I just want to know, have you ever had any conversations with Eddie Hazel about Jimi Hendrix, or did he ever mention that they ever met or anything like that? Do you ever remember Eddie saying anything about Jimi that kind of stuck with you?
No, I couldn't even, you know, it's funny, I couldn't even think to ask questions like that, you know? Like, I heard something, a while ago, and it was like, I think some people were saying that they were supposed to meet up, and this is when Gary and Bud was with us, and they were supposed to meet, and they were overseas at the same time, just in England somewhere, and they were supposed to meet, but I don't know what happened, you know. Over there is really probably a little harder than it is now to just say, oh, I'm going to meet you over here. You know, you're in a foreign country back in the day. I'm like, I don't, you know, it's even a little tricky now. But, it was mentioned that they were getting ready to meet, you know, or they tried to meet because they were over there at the same time, I believe, one time. You know, the groups were over there performing in the same country,
okay.
You know. But I was
So,
that was
do you know if Jimmy was even aware of Parliament Funkadelic, or do you know that for sure?
I have no idea. Probably with George with him writing that, or whoever wrote Jimmy's got a little bit of, you know. I didn't feel that. I mean, that's an odd song. I don't know why. I don't know if they were referring to him, you know, I believe they had to be aware of each other of some kind of way, you know, that's only my son. Of course, you know, he had his own agenda, you know what I mean? And I doubt if he was not aware, but he could have been so busy that he didn't even, you know, he was just trying to do his thing. But I don't want to speak for either one. I really don't know for sure, you know.
Oh, okay. I understand. Now, if you had to pick, like, one or two P-Funk songs that really dialed in on that Jimi Hendrix vibe, what songs would you pick yourself that you remember that, man, this is exactly the direction Jimmy was going in, or you could really feel that Hendrix vibe in the song?
Well, like, Come Around the Mountain when Eddie did that solo, and then anything that they had, like Alice in My Fantasies and Red Hot Mama, you know. Of course, that's got that kind of a change in it, you know. It has the Red Hot Mama changes. So, like, one of the songs that, but yeah, it's Friday night, August the 14th. Almost all of that, you know, like Free Your Mind and Your Ass Follow, you know, I Want to Know If It's Good to You. Anything with a lot of guitar in it. I tried to do my little thing, you know, on the Butt to Butt Resuscitation, you know, at the end of it. I didn't even believe I really did that when I listened back to that solo. You know, but it was just a wah-wah to amp crank back all the way up, you know, what have you. But, it's hard to – I would have to listen to them kind of all again or something, you know, to really listen to the whole catalog and say, well, you know. But definitely, you know, Eddie when he took the solos, he had the echo on there in the phase, plans, what have you. And I think Coming Around the Mountain, that solo stands out as somewhat of a flavor. And he has some other solos. I mean, you know, but yeah.
Okay.
It
looks like, go ahead.
No, that's it. I mean,
Oh, okay.
Going on? I guess that's kind of none of these songs, but. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like I wish we had more time. I wish we could do a part two interview because I think a lot of your fans will want to go a little deeper into your knowledge. So if I could hook that up, would you mind doing a part two at some point?
Oh, man, listen, you know, I'm here for you. I mean, I'm learning with, you know, about my own history. I was living it more than anything else, but now, you know, when you ask me the questions, you know, it gives me, I have to, like, okay, what was I doing back then? What was I thinking? And I got a whole page, about 3 pages of notes. So, yeah, man, we can keep doing it as much as you want to. You know, we can keep on, we can make a series of them. It's all good.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hook that up then.
Yeah, if somebody comes up with some other questions or something like that, feel free to. Running by me.
Okay, yeah, sure thing. We look forward to seeing you on Friday, November 27th at BB King's in New York City, Times Square. All right, thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, thank you, Gordon. All right.
Okay, all right, bye.